morning, everybody.
Good morning.
It's been a while since I've been up here. But I'm trying to calm down because my dad just texted me that he's at the ER with a bad asthma attack, so I'm just trying to pull it together. Like, conveniently, he texted me the first time. He was pronounced clinically dead a couple times due to asthma-related issues, so just want to make sure he's all right. So my husband's going to call and click and get started, and hopefully everything is all right, but I guess he's okay if he texts me. He's out of complete distress. We all have the power to choose, right? Mm-hmm. Say amen if we have the power to choose.
Amen.
God gave us the power to choose. And I'm really excited about talking about that because this morning it was like, choose to snooze, choose to keep going. But I'm just like, every morning it's like when I get up and I have to go to work and I'm like, oh, I'm so tired, I'm so tired, I'm tired. Every day is a choice. Every day you roll up, it is a choice. And just sometimes I just be like, God, help me. So this describes me. Because most of y'all know what I do anyway. So I just need that one more minute. But God gives us the power to choose every minute, every second of the day. He created us in such wonderful, complex beings that we have the free will to choose. So, caution. It's a choice ahead. How great is our God? How great. We were created in His image. Wow. His image. Genesis 1:27. So God created mankind in His own image. In the image of God, He created them, male and female. He created them. He created our complex mind to think, to choose, to be free. I don't know about you, but I know I'm amazing. Do you know how amazing you are?
Amen.
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 So, just even knowing about our bodies and how complex our mind is, it's just so basic to just choose left or right or wrong, up or down, in or out. We're so complex, yet we complicate the decisions that are the easiest. Strange that is. So, part of my style of teaching and preaching is I like crowd participation. So, can I get a volunteer to read this verse for me? Volunteer. Go ahead.
The one who practices sin, separating himself from God and offending Him by acts of disobedience, indifference, or rebellion, is of the devil, and takes his inner character and moral values from him, not God. For the devil has sinned and violated God's law from the beginning. The Son of God appeared for this purpose, to destroy the works of the devil.
Okay, everybody take
Amen.
So 1 John 3:8, this is the Amplified version. That's because you have to say it with your chest. You have to add extra to it. You have to make it real for you. And that's why I put it in this form. But everybody pull out their Bibles, whatever version you have. Then go to 1 John 3:8. And when you there, say amen.
Amen.
So, part of walking in the Word and learning the Word and making it real for you and following is reading a verse before it. And so in 3:7, it says, little children, from my version, it says, little children, make sure no one deceives you. The one who practices righteousness is righteous, just as he is righteous. Now, who is he?
Jesus.
God.
Christ.
And so verse 8 says, the one who practices sin is of the devil, for the devil has sinned from the beginning. The Son of God appeared for this purpose, to destroy the works of the devil. So when we look at this Amplified version, and you make it personal for yourself. The one who practices sin separates himself from God by offending him with acts of disobedience, indifference, and rebellion. We can accept Christ or we can reject Christ.
Right.
It's a choice. It's one or the other, because you can't do both.
Right.
You can't follow two. You got to follow one, and you have to choose. I think there was a story in the Bible that talks about a rebellion. Talks about somebody that rejected Christ, that was cast down from heaven because of that. I don't know if you want to follow him. Follow his example. The one who practices sin is of the devil and takes his inner character and moral values from him, not God. So it's accepting or rejecting. Stuff of the world is so alluring. It's everywhere. You can just turn on the TV. Sin is everywhere. It's everywhere. It's in gross. It's just there.
Amen.
It's so much to the point that we are desensitized to it. Mm-hmm. Our kids are desensitized to it. Mm-hmm. Some kids say cuss words and be like, oh my gosh, back in my day, we knew. We had that feeling. We knew that it was wrong.
Amen.
We didn't want nobody hearing that.
Mm-hmm.
Nowadays, they just desensitized to it. You turn on the TV, or even you can watch the movies these days. The sexual innuendo in kids' movies that are rated PG.
Mm-hmm.
But they got some jokes in there for the adults.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
They got some... It's like... Because we're desensitized to it. We should be guarding our senses. God gave us 5 senses. We need to be guarding all of them.
Amen.
For the devil has sinned and violated God's law from the beginning. We know God knows the end, the beginning, and the end. And Satan, he just started right off. From the beginning. So God had a solution. And what was the solution? He sent the Son of God. He gave his only begotten son, to come to destroy the works of the devil. So watch out now. It's a choice ahead. The Bible has some really awesome examples of choices we can make, and some choices that some people took. So one example, I need a volunteer to read that verse.
Okay.
He who finds a wife finds a good thing and obtains favor from the Lord. Proverbs 18:22.
Any husbands can say amen?
Amen.
Amen.
That was a choice. He had to choose. Or he was going to lose. He had to choose. So you could just follow the crowd. You can go what social media is telling you what to do. You can lose yourself in the world and the foolishness. But when you decide to settle down, that takes a mature person. That takes a mature Christian. That takes somebody that knows what they want to make a choice. And he said this guy, so I'm going to just call you out on it.
This guy.
But he obtains favor. Being obedient, you obtain the favor of God. But watch out now. It's a choice ahead. I need another volunteer. Who wants to volunteer? Go ahead.
But if serving the Lord seems undesirable to you, then choose for yourselves this day whom you will serve. Whether the gods your ancestors served beyond the Euphrates, or the gods of the Amorites, in whose land you are living. But as for me and my household, we will serve the Lord.
Amen.
Amen. Amen.
So sometimes you have to speak to yourself. Speak over your household. And you can say, Satan, you can't have my marriage, you can't have my children, you can't have my family, you can't have my job, you can't have me. Because as for me and my household, we're going to serve the Lord.
Amen.
That's a choice.
Amen.
That's a conscious decision. There ain't no half-step. You either in or you out. But you know what? It's just so amazing. So amazing. I know someone has a Bible. They can turn to John 3:16 because we do have an awesome God. So someone turn to John 3:16. Some of y'all might even know it by heart. You might not even need to turn there. Mm-hmm. So if someone wants to either turn there or say it out loud, by all means do.
For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have everlasting life.
So, amazing, right? Awesome, amen. Of course. Of course, this story doesn't get old, right?
Right.
Well, to people that don't follow Christ and gets old, I've heard that all before. Well, for true believers, that's real. It's amazing. So, I like to say it with my chest, right? The Amplified Version says, for God so greatly loved and dearly prized the world that he gave his even one and only begotten Son, that whosoever believes and trusts in him, the Savior, shall not perish, but have eternal life. So what I like to do is, repetition is always going to deepen the impression. I need another volunteer to read that. 1 John 3:8.
The one who practices sin, separating himself from God, and offending him by acts of disobedience, indifference, or rebellion, is of the devil, and takes his inner character and moral values from him, not God. For the devil has sinned and violated God's law from the beginning. The Son of God appeared for this purpose, to destroy the works of the devil.
So repetition is going to deepen the what? Impression. Okay? So, when divinity became humanity, and we have who?
Jesus.
Jesus. And Jesus is our what?
Savior.
He is our example, and we have a manual of how to conduct ourselves. So in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was a God, and the Word was God, and the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten, the Father, full of grace and truth, 1 John 14. God gave us five senses and gave us an example, a perfect example to follow by allowing Jesus to come into this world. And we think about, you know, how he walked this earth. Right? But even way before that, I want to read an excerpt from, it's called from the Gospel of John. It's a life lesson. And it talks about how divinity became humanity. The omnipotent, in one instant, made himself breakable. He who has spirit became pierceable. He who was larger than the universe became an embryo. And he who sustained the world with the word chose to be dependent upon the nourishment of a young girl. God as a fetus, holiness sleeping in a womb, the creator of life created. God was given eyebrows, elbows, two kidneys, a spleen. He stretched against the walls and floated in the amniotic fluids of his mother. God came near. He came not as a flash of light or an unapproachable conqueror, but as one who cries first were heard by a peasant girl and a sleepy carpenter. The hands that first held him were unmanicured, calloused, and dirty. No silk, no ivory, no hype, no party, no hoopla, none of that stuff. Were it not for shepherds, there would have been no reception. And were it not for a group of stargazers, there would have been no gifts. Angels watched as Mary changed God's diapers. The universe watched with wonder as the Almighty learned to walk. Children play with him in the street, and the synagogue leader in Nazareth known who was listening to his sermon. For 33 years, he would feel everything you and I ever felt. He felt weak. He grew weary. He was afraid of failure. He was susceptible to wooing of women. He got cold. He burped. He had a body odor. His feelings got hurt, his feet got tired, and his head ached. Now, I don't know if that sounds like a human being, but it is. I felt that way. I've been tired. I've been weary. Been a baby, too. And it's so amazing to hear your story about 26 years ago, 27 probably, if you do some math, right? You were told by some non-believers, doubters, nation, whatever, that it is impossible for you. That's so sad. Not my problem. But some man, some woman, whatever, said no. But God said, just wait a minute. Amen. Here's your blessing.
Amen.
If you ask, you shall receive. If you're going to be patient, you will get it. There it is.
Yeah.
The proof. If you ever doubt it, I'm sure your faith was strengthened by that. My son is the same thing. I was told by a doctor, you'll never have kids. And I said, I need to go find his doctor after I have my baby. I need to go find that doctor that told me that I would never have a child. And I'm going to get up here and cry, but I'm going to be all right. But they told me I would never have a child. And I had the easiest pregnancy, the easiest labor,
praise
and delivery.
Amen. Praise God.
And the 12-year-old boy so tired. Get on my nerves, Lord Jesus. But he is a blessing.
Amen.
And that's my testimony. And that's why I cry, because I know what it feels like to be in position. Mm. And I hope that he makes it to 26. Follows God by our example that we provide for him. Somebody give me some tissue, y'all. I'm just doing too much here. I'm doing too much. I could grab a sleeve. Glad we're not recording, right? But, oh, see? Thank you.
Let's take it.
All right. Others in this room have witnessed the power of our Almighty God. It may not have been a baby. It could have been a child. It could have been a spouse. It could have been for a peace of mind, quiet nights. Thank you. When we pray in faith, we believe, we make that choice to follow Him wholeheartedly, anything's possible.
Amen.
So we all have a choice to make. So choose today. Who will you serve? You can accept Christ. You can reject Christ. Either way, it's going to be a choice. If you choose to follow Christ wholeheartedly, all in, you ready. He'll help you. You need to be humble, but He'll help you. He'll surround people. He'll put people around you to support you, to lift you up. Because we know good old Satan. He does know your past. He knows your flaws. He knows your weaknesses. He knows how to pull you back in, rope you back in to the foolishness. But God wants to take you higher. He wants to move you forward.
Amen.
But He ain't going to force you. He wants you to choose Him. I had a friend last week. She wanted to die. I've had enough. I'm tired. I'm tired of this relationship. I'm tired of hurting. I'm tired of life. I want to die. I want to choose death. I went to dinner with her. And I said, girl, I know. It's hard. When you feel like you've had enough, it's too much. When you feel hopeless and helpless, down in your luck, just, I want to tap out. Life has got me in that hole. And I'm just ready to just tap out. I told her, I know what it feels like. You know what it feels like. But let me tell you what, you got to choose to live. It's not going to be easy. But you got to choose to live. You got to want to live. You can have a million reasons to die, but you got to think of a thousand reasons to live. And it's going to be hard. Every day is going to be hard. And so when we were sitting at dinner, and you know, I'm a crab. Y'all know me. If I didn't have no feeling, I would. But sitting at dinner, and I told her, I said, don't text me. You feel suicidal. We just lost our friend a month ago, suicide. Don't text me, you feel suicidal. And she had this look on her face like, what? I said, no, don't text me that. This is what I want you to do. You text me, I need help. And then you go to any ER. They will help you. You tell them you feel suicidal. Don't text me. Don't text anybody else. Just say you need help. We left Chili's. I dropped her off. Not even 2 hours later, she texted me. I need help. I'm at St. Mary's. I told her I was on my way. When we left Chili's, her spirit was lifted. She felt hope. She felt that she was going to be okay. But she went back into a toxic environment where Satan was dwelling. He was there on the couch with his feet up, with something cold to drink. She went back to that house after I tried to minister to her, tell her about the struggles, telling her to choose life. She went back in the house. It wasn't even, like I said, it wasn't even 2 hours. I had went home, changed. I was about to go to bed. She texted me, and I was on my way. And I told her, thank you for listening. Sometimes we talk to our friends, they just be like, whatever. But thank you for listening. Thank you for choosing life. Because Satan will take you out. When you are on the threshold of greatness, God is going to do something amazing in your life. It's like Satan can feel it. Like, ugh, let me just get her from out. Just get her out the wheel. Just get her out the way. Let me take her out. And so she got help. And I'm glad that she did. Because as much as it affected our family to go through the situation with my husband, we were just at the cemetery. We are still feeling the leftovers. We are the people who are left here to deal with someone's suicide. We're here to deal with that. And so we were at the cemetery. Mother's still there. It's just like, so many unanswered questions, and I just think about my friend, and I say, you've got to choose life. Because once you're gone, he's gone. When you choose to follow Christ, yeah, I don't know about anybody else, but there are going to be bumps in the road. It's not going to be easy, but you know what? To submit yourselves, he asks us. He doesn't tell us. He asks us to submit, to be humble. When you submit your whole selves to God, you are opening yourself up to his protections. All of them. He controls the universe, right? Why not? But you have to be willing. You have to have an attitude, you before me, right? Some married couples, yeah, me before you, or it's you before me. But a lot of successful relationships have an attitude of servitude. They're there to serve one another. Submitting yourself to God is waiting on him. We need to trust. We need to obey. Read his word. Be patient. In these days and times, we can get anything with a click of a button. I'm just so amazed by DoorDash or Uber Eats. And I'm just like, oh, all my faves, like right here. I need all my stuff. The convenience. Anyway. With submission, protection, humility, love, selflessness, waiting on God, trusting and obeying. When you want to be a rebel, you know the king of all rebels, right? Mm-hmm. The father of evil. That guy, right? It's about pride. It's about acting on your own. It's about you doubt what the word says. You doubt what Christ has said about you and who you are in him. And you disobey. You do what you want to do. I like when some of my kiddos at work, they tell me, I do what I want to do because I'm a boss. I do what I want to do because I'm almost grown. Almost don't count. Until you get grown, then you can do those things. And, we just think about that rebellion. I think about trying to get the dog to go outside and use the bathroom. And he just doesn't want to do it. He just wants to go wherever. It's like, see, you know, I'm against my authority. I'm telling you what to do. I think about my kid. Does he... Yes, he has the power to choose. Thank you, Jesus, for that. Right. He has the power to logically think. He's amazing. But I don't think he trusts what I say at times, and that's what makes him disobedient. But God gives us kids for a reason, right? So we can see him. Y'all catch that? Because our kids don't do what we want them to do all the time. And as much as God may want us to do something, He don't want to do it. So it is them. We act on our own behalf. But it's amazing when we have obedient children who do what we want them to do, and life is good, right? But there's no easy button for life, unfortunately. Choose an attitude of submission. Our first duty is to submit ourselves to God, the one who created us, who loved us, who sent us a Savior. Submission is a choice of the heart. God asked us to be willing for His sake. James 4:7 says, therefore submit to God, resist the devil, he will flee from you. I've had nightmares, and I've said in the name of Jesus, in those dreams where I can hear myself say it, evil disappears. I don't know if anybody been in a car accident, but the first thing, oh Lord, I'm calling on Him, because only He can save.
Amen.
Romans 10:3 said, for they being ignorant of God's righteousness, you gotta know it. Ignorance is not knowing. That's what weakness, you don't know. If you don't know about God's righteousness, right? So for them being ignorant of God's righteousness and seeking to establish their own righteousness, have not submitted to the righteousness of God. Can you accept it or can you reject it? It's one or the other. So I need a volunteer. I like to use the International Children's Bible. It's a Bible that we do have in this church for some of our kids. But I like using this version because it makes it so simple. Well, some ideas in the Bible can be so complex. So I need a volunteer to read 1 Peter chapter 2, verses 13 through 25. And this section talks about obeying every human authority. Any volunteer? Why not? Go ahead.
Obey the people who have authority in this world. Do this for the Lord. Obey the king, who is the highest authority, and obey the leaders who are sent by the king. They are sent to punish those who do wrong and to praise those who do right. So when you do good, you stop foolish people from saying stupid things about you. This is what God wants. Live as free men. But do not use your freedom as an excuse to do evil. Live as servants of God. Show respect for all people. Love the brothers and sisters of God's family. Respect God. Honor the king.
So it's, sum it up real quick. For His sake, for our Lord, respect every human authority. We are given institutions, we are given examples, we are given opportunities for patience, we are given opportunities to be obedient through places of employment or sometimes in church settings and things of that nature. We are given opportunities. I need another volunteer.
Slaves, accept the authority of your masters. Do this with all respect. You should obey masters who are good and kind, and you should obey masters who are bad. A person might have to suffer even when he has done nothing wrong. But if he thinks of God and bears the pain, this pleases God. If you're punished for doing wrong, there's no reason to praise you for bearing punishment. But if you suffer for doing good and you are patient, then that pleases God. That is what you were called to do. Christ suffered for you. He gave you an example to follow, so you should do as He did.
So when I think of God is the source that gives us the resources to do His work, okay? Raise your hand if you have a really awesome employer, you love your boss, you've never had anything bad happen at work. Oh, the hands went down. Okay, that's all right.
Nothing happened bad at work.
So, we are employed to do God's work. We're not there for the supervisor. Sometimes we're not even there to collect a check. But we're there for God's work, for His purpose. So it's not about us. I know my supervisor get on my nerves. I don't care. You can tell her. She gets on my nerves. But I'm not there for her. I'm there for the children. I'm there for God's purpose. Until He removes me from that position, that's what I'm there to do. And it's not easy. But it's got to be done. So the rest of that verse says, He did no sin, He never lied. People insulted Christ, but He did not insult them in return. Christ suffered, but He did not threaten. He let God take care of Him. God is the only one who judges rightly. Christ carried our sins in His body on the cross. He did this so that we would stop living for sin and start living for what is right. And we are healed because of His wounds. You were like sheep that went the wrong way, but now you have come back to the shepherd and the overseer of your souls. So our submission principles, our Christian walk, choose to serve, choose to follow, choose to listen, reject what is ungodly, learning what God's word is about, reading the word, reading His examples, is for character building, giving us actual examples in the Bible, giving us examples of people who share our humanity, deal with the same struggles. We've had actual slavery depicted in our, not in our lifetimes, but in our historical setting. We also have it in the Bible. Submission is a duty to God, to whom which all blessings flow. Submission is protection by God. Choose to follow. Choose to create a relationship. Choose to increase your faith. Submission has limits. He gave us the power to choose, right? Free will. It's not slavery. You have to. No. His arms are already outstretched to you. You can choose to embrace or you can choose to turn your back. It is up to you. Submission is the favor of God. We just read that in 1 Peter chapter 2, verses 18-19. Submission is the intimacy of God. Fellowship through submission to suffering. We've all had loss in this room. We all can say that, but God, dot, dot, dot. Only God, dot, dot, dot. If it had not been for my God, dot, dot, dot. We all share that relationship. So spend time with Him. Acknowledge His power. Because ignorance is weakness. So again, choose today who you will serve.
Amen.
I just hope that we all decide to choose to follow Christ. If I make it to heaven, I hope I see y'all there.
Amen.
Let's pray so we can all join the rest of our Sabbath. Let's pray. Father in heaven, we thank you for today. Your blessed Sabbath. We thank you for all the people that are here. We thank you for our friends. We thank you for our family. We thank you for being the true God. Touch our hearts and our minds to move towards you. But we know we have the power to choose, and I pray that it is your will that we all choose you, put you first, and always love you. In Jesus' name I pray, amen.
Amen.